we'll go ahead and call our meeting to order. Supervisor Kiro, Vicky, O'Day, and Berg are excused. Supervisors Basha, Gashke, Franco, and Supervisor Nudo, as an ex officio member, is here tonight. Also, youth and governance, we have Kenzie. And I haven't heard anything from Rebecca. John, did you hear anything?
I haven't heard anything.
Okay,
so.
All right. Very good. Well, we'll.
April mentioned she had said she could not make it.
Gotcha.
I'm
okay.
Not sure.
Well, then if she's communicated with April, then she's also excused. Thank you. Okay. Before we get started here, just want to certify that we are in compliance with open meetings laws. And that this meeting was properly noticed. That leads us to number two tonight, our youth and governance update. And it is a youth and governance time of the year. And so, Erica, why don't you fill us in on what we as a committee should be aware of? Thank you.
I didn't realize that was.
Well, it's listed as number two. We could do it in a different order. That's fine. That's fine. I was actually surprised on the order, too. So,
okay,
because typically
cool.
The feature program
is first.
First.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to
okay.
do that. If there's no objection, we'll take up number three, the highlights, the feature program highlights, and then we'll pick up with youth and governance and other program updates. Okay, great.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, thank you all for your time this evening. We're going to take the opportunity to share with you highlights from 2022, but also what the plan of work is for our various areas for 2023. So starting out with just some general information about Extension. Extension really does embrace the Wisconsin idea, and the Wisconsin idea is bringing the research and resources of the university to out into the community where people live, work, and play, because as we know, not everyone can go to a university. So by having educators within the community, we can explore community needs, assess them, work along with community members, and again bring those resources and research from the university to share. And besides addressing local issues, we also do address statewide and nationwide issues as well. So how do we do this? We do this through our partnerships with youth, and as you can see also with the Department of Ag, and that's been a long-going relationship that the university has had with both organizations, but especially with the U.S. Department of Ag, the USDA. We also, the partnership is education, we are an educational resource to county departments and divisions, also local municipalities and organizations throughout the county, whether they be education, like let's say with schools, whether they be faith-based, whether they be nonprofits, etc. So a variety of different organizations. And then the county pays a portion of the educators' salaries and fringes, as well as provides the office space, so this beautiful office space that we work out of. And then the Division of Extension pays the remainder with state and federal funds. And then we also provide access to research to our various specialists that are located both on campus and throughout the state. And we provide statewide network resources. So just to give you the bird's eye view of what happened in the last year, 800 residents in Kenosha, Racine, and Milwaukee County participated in the Plant Health Advising Program, so that was with VJ. Nearly 450 people participated in the community development programs, and that was just through September. That was Amy Grail's position, so that's only for three quarters of the year. 4-H currently has over 500 members enrolled. Educators reported 85 program outcomes. So it's what their focus was, and if they, what the community benefited from. Those are those outcomes that they reported. We worked with 92 partners, and that was directly versus indirect, or let's say through a resource that's on our website. That would be an indirect. Extension programming has reached, I'll just use round numbers, 5,900 educational contacts. And then food-wise, you heard from Atifa last month. Again, using round numbers, 2,500 participants through direct education and almost 13,000 through indirect education. Extension as a whole, I mean, we really have a big impact within the state with over 370,000 contacts a year. So here in Racine County, we're looking at in the entire state, probably about 6% of the contacts of the entire state are in Racine County.
Quick question.
Sure.
I don't want to take you off track.
Oh, nope.
12,827 indirect education, mm-hmm. is that individual individuals or contacts, touches? In other words, one person can be touched multiple times.
It can be one person can be touched multiple times.
Cool,
yep.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Oh, yes,
sorry.
Let's go back to that. Yes.
On 5,890,
yes.
which kind of contacts, would you expand on that a little bit? What do you mean by that?
Sure. It would be anytime we have direct contact with someone. So, for instance, it could be an educator going into a school and working with a class. So, let's say there's 32 youth in that class. It's probably too large of a number. Let's say 25. And then we have what's called a recording portal, and they put in those contacts, and we keep a running record of everyone that we have contacts with. So then at the end, like I'll just use myself for an example. Last year I had 1,200 contacts myself. So we keep that running record, and then quite honestly, sometimes people forget. So the numbers are probably higher because it may be like, oh, I forgot to put that in, or that kind of thing. Or people don't sign in. Like, I was at a program yesterday with Carolyn, and I know for a fact there were two people because I talked to them, I knew their names, and they didn't even sign in as being there. And she had, what, 50? It ended up being 56, mm-hmm. but it looked like there were 54. So, yeah. Oh, I should point out, too, and then around the cog there, it are six institutes. I just wanted to point that out. And not every county has educators from every institute in it, because it's based on county need and what the county prefers as well. So now I am going to hand it over to the educators as they will share with you highlights from the year that had just ended, so the past year, and then their plan of work. Just so you know, our plan of works tend to run summer to summer. So really, there's always a little bit of overlap. I'm still going to call them 2023 because these are the areas that they will be focusing on as we begin the year. And oftentimes, it will even extend through the entire year. So we will start with Mary.
Sure. So a few of my 2022 highlights was the facilitation of direct behavioral health education with audiences of older adults, incarcerated men, educators within, you know, that they are educating children and other adults and 4-H volunteers, facilitating financial education with audiences of incarcerated men, veterans, clients of the Housing Authority, and staff in the helping profession from a variety of different agencies and nonprofits. And then also something that actually Pam and I have been doing together under a grant program is we have been working as, or we still are, working as a community site within the Well Connected Communities grant, which within the project we have been utilizing the Youth Advocates for Community Health program to groups of youth involved with the justice system. So this is more of a process-based curriculum that helps them to understand health environments, making changes, identifying policies, systems, environmental changes, coming up with action plans, and then being able to present. So that is, as Pam said, kind of stretches beyond the calendar year, but that was something definitely in the back half of the year that we were working on a lot. And then a few things from this year to come, enhancing reentry resource needs with the Kenosha Correctional Center. Some of that is going to be the utilization of different agencies in the area, just because a lot of the people that are leaving the Kenosha Correctional Center have fulfilled their incarceration and are going back into the communities. So it's that, and then also some direct education with financial education specifically. And then also bringing Planning Ahead, which is an advanced planning program to local in-person audiences. I was part of a small team in the southern part of the state that piloted it virtually, but it's something that is really appropriate for any adults, but definitely attracted an audience of older adults, and not all older adults want to take a virtual class. So it is going to then be able to to still utilize the program, be able to do more face-to-face with it, and then since it would be local specifically, bringing in other local entities to help talk about things as far as like estate planning and grief and loss and some of those other types of like medical care choices. Continuing to plan and co-facilitate trainings for adult and youth mental health first aid, which I'll talk more specifically about for my monthly updates. And then also working with a local team to address rental issues in the area via tenant education.
So Mary, if I could ask.
Sure.
You facilitate, or in other words, bring experts, content experts in for some of the adult planning and things like that, or are you the content expert in those?
Both. So a lot of it is being able to deliver the extension curriculum, and some of it will be either connecting or bringing in content experts because we aren't in positions to give advice about products or other things of that nature. So both in that sense. And that is true of some of the other financial education. So for instance, with the tenant education piece, we were able to bring in an attorney from Legal Action for one of the sessions to be able to talk more specifically about guidance for working within the legal system if it was, you know, an eviction or landlord issues or tenant issues, things of that nature, beyond what I'm able to provide information.
That helps, because when I was reading through some of Erica's work, I didn't know she was a team development expert, and it seemed like a lot of the programming stuff that she was part of focused in that, where you bring a consultant in, somebody that really focuses in. So I was curious how you guys executed that.
Oh, sure.
That
yep. Yeah.
Thank you.
You can go back and say facilitated financial education with audience
as
incarcerated men.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that?
Going into the facility, and then it is typically groups that are newly transferred to the Kenosha Correctional Center, and prior to them going to job training or placement, since that facility has a specific focus on that, there are different classes that the superintendent prefers that they are able to take part in, because once they're working, you know, a lot of them are working full time plus transportation. So this specifically was financial education that we've been doing probably quarterly, usually when she has about a dozen or more new people to kind of fill out that classroom space. And a lot of it is because as they're working, the Department of Corrections holds a lot of their income because they're incarcerated, but at the point of being released to the community, they're receiving that money. So it's trying to set them up to be able to manage it, know how to get in touch with local resources, whether that's banking or credit reports or other things of that nature, to just help in a preemptive way, I guess, at the point that typically that is their last stop before being released to the community.
And stupid question, but I gotta ask, you got incarcerated men, what about women?
We don't have any female facility. Like, the closest female prison is in Racine County, so it just so happens that in Kenosha County, there's,
okay.
Yeah, that's the only DOC facility.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you, Mary. Then we'll move on to BJ.
So, in 2022, I had an opportunity to work with a green industry audience, who primarily deal with landscape contractors, lawn service providers, and as well as any of the horticulture professionals. We've been offering, you know, a short course program, which is a 4-week short course program. Now, this program is a statewide program. I've been involved with my colleague from Waukesha County, as well as Dane County. We put together this 4-week program beginning in February, and we've been doing it online. Previously, before COVID, was all face-to-face. We had in multiple locations. Now, because of the COVID, it made it much more easier right now with online, but we've been able to bring more resources from, especially from out-of-state speakers, can be brought in back into our program. So last year, we had about more than 300 people signed up for this program. It was fairly successful. and we are planning on doing again in the month of February back again on Zoom. Spring into the gardening one. So before COVID, it was a face-to-face, a one-day conference. Because of the COVID, we split it up into more of a workshop style. Every Saturday in the month of March, we had a couple of speakers, including myself. I presented it. And so again, last year was pretty much online. We got about like close around like an average of 65-70 people in that range who participated in each of those week. The Tri-County diagnostic program, where we deal with consumer inquiries related to plant issues, tree issues, anything related to gardening, and that's been going on very successfully. Most of our master gardeners were able to work from remotely as well. I was able to coordinate, teach, and as well as also provide direct consultation with the residents as well too. So we got about like close around like 700 inquiries last year about that. I also had an opportunity to work with the Wisconsin Correctional Institute last year. It took quite a chunk of my time, I would say. It wasn't that easy. It was quite a bit challenging to work in that facility, working with about like even like 8 to 10 inmates. It's not that easy to work with them. So I have to have the guard all the time and, you know, work with those people, work with those inmates, you know, provide hands-on type of activities. And then they had a community garden over there too, and I have to coordinate that as well. So every week I have to be there, beginning from spring all the way till end of summer. So it was a tiring job, I would say. In 2023 this year, I'm actually going to be focusing back again on doing the same landscape and grounds maintenance program back again. It's been very successful the last few years. I plan on continuing to do that in collaboration with my colleague back again on Zoom. It's much easier to bring some more out-of-state speakers to our program. Our Spring into the Gardening one is going to be back again face-to-face. We're going to host this program on March 18th at the Kemper Center back again. So we are starting to market and do some programming advertisement for that program. I started to do a program called Gardening for Beginners in collaboration with Kenosha and Racine County Libraries. For the coming spring, I'm going to roll out about 5 sessions. I'm going to be teaching those 5 sessions. One location is going to be in the west side of the county, other one in the east side. I'm going to try to see how it's going to work it out this spring. The registration is free. It is in partnership with the county libraries. And I'm also trying, in the planning session to work with our 4-H educators to host the Arbor Day program. So this is a program that's going to bring some awareness to the kids about the wonderful things about the trees, what are the benefits of trees, right at the KCC facility, since we have an arboretum down here. In fall, we are going to host an invasive plant species workshop. This is in partnership with the Southeast Wisconsin Invasive Species Network. As part of my role, I have some research and trial responsibility as well too. And I'm so fortunate in Kenosha County, we have this wonderful, ground to do all kind of testing. So the last 2 years, I was able to successfully, establish an arboretum. We have about like a 94 trees actually, which belongs in the 45 genus, 24 families. This spring, I'm gonna plant another 50 to 60 different species of trees again. So it'll be pretty densely diverse actually. In our facility, I don't think anywhere, even in Milwaukee, Bona Botanical Garden has that kind of diversity of tree species. So it's going to be a unique location to where people can come and learn about different species of trees in here. In fact, the collections of oaks we have is going to be more than about 10 different species of oak we're going to have here in this facility. So also, I have established a number of small fruit trials, including blueberries, goji berries, blackberries, in the small trial section. So that now is the time for me to evaluate them, how the performance these are performing in outside condition. And also those information I can incorporate in the future presentation or draft and articles for the statewide as well. I'm probably the biggest thing I would say, you know, in terms of plan of work for this year is also going to be is that I'm going to be working with our state specialist, Dr. Mark Renz, and to establish a research trial program on controlling some invasive species. This research trial program is going to be at the Riverbend Nature Center in Racine County. And the result of the research trial will have some impact statewide. Any questions?
Yes. What's the status of the killer bugs
you were talking about last month?
Well, you could, I think in about a couple of months, I'll be talking more about that, the spotted lanternfly. I'm planning on giving a future presentation in March about that. So far, we don't have it, but I know in Dane County last year, it hitchhiked in one of the passengers in the flight, and they were able to identify it and knock it out. So, you know, so that's the latest.
Not fun.
Yeah.
Oh,
the flight
poker.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Carolyn?
So this is 4-H. As you know, I've only been here since October 3rd, so I don't have a whole year of highlights, but just wanted to let you know we're up to 11 clubs now in the county and 15 countywide projects, and those all had to be chartered and reported their finances and things. As Pam said, we're up to 566 members, and our volunteers are growing quite a bit. I have 20 just waiting now for their background checks and things to come back, so we're getting a lot more volunteers. There's been a lot of community outreach, and some of those clubs I have the kids, I don't have them, their leaders have them doing community outreach projects every month. Obviously around the holidays that gets, you know, a little bigger with community service, but a couple of the clubs have done a really nice project with building beds and delivering beds for people that don't have them, so that's a popular one. I recently designed a new online training module for new club leaders. There's a lot of responsibilities with that, and some of them, you know, want to know, am I doing this right? Am I on track? They need that assurance, so we did kind of a tutorial with that. So now, I mentioned it last month again, I think, we're revamping the bylaws for clubs and projects. Those haven't been touched on in quite a few years for some of the groups, so that's the next thing. And just again, basically developing relationships with them. I really want, it's important to me to create that open dialogue because there hasn't been someone in my position steadily for a while, so I want them to be able to trust me and communicate with me so I can help them. And so I'm still doing a lot of club and project visits. I have 4 or 5 different clubs that meet on Monday nights at 7 o'clock, so it's gonna take me 3 or 4 months to get to those. We're also meeting with the Quad County, so that's Waukesha, Kenosha, Racine, and Milwaukee, to do some programming with them. We have been in touch with the Fab Lab at Gateway in the Sturtevant area. We're also working on going to visit Madison for a STEM day with them as well. Starting time to work on day camps and overnight camps because summer will hopefully be here before we know it. And again, to the Arbor Day event that BJ mentioned, recruitment again for kids and volunteers. So we also want to develop a program for some volunteer appreciation because it's not easy to be a volunteer. You don't just say, hey, I'll help. You know, there's 4 training modules that are required online and then, you know, another big Zoom session meeting, and they give a lot of their time. So kind of want to develop, you know, something like that. Maybe expand our countywide projects or get back to them during COVID. For example, we lost our foods and nutrition leader. They found that it just wasn't easy to do that during COVID. So I'd like to get that going again because I think food and nutrition is obviously usually a popular subject with kids. Restoring the 4-H Ambassador Program. That is our high school, usually our high school kids that are kind of like the face of 4-H, but they help with clover buds, the little kids putting on camps for them and activities. And then again at the bottom, providing high school youth with opportunities to learn about colleges, trades, employment opportunities. Those are my goals.
Quick question, maybe not so quick, but a couple of questions that come from observations, and you just said the words. I have the impression that 4-H was kind of, say, neglected, but certainly not very robust. Coming back in, how heavy a lift is it to get it back up to where it could or should be?
I know that came in knowing a little bit of history, you know, again, there hasn't been a steady educator, but I would say that it's going well. I mean, even in the few months that I've been here, we have been having, more people joining. The parents that kept it afloat in the county, like, I give a lot of credit to, because it's, how do I want to say it? Not a difficult program, but there's a lot of multifaceted, let's put it that way, to 4-H. So they've done what they could, but like now that I'm here to support them and build those relationships, it seems to be, you know, turning around a little bit. It's like I said, the trust is developed there, and I personally think it's going fairly well.
We have a lot of committed individuals. I know I talked to the folks that do the archery and things like that.
Yes.
Which was one of the things, I don't know if it ever carried through. They wanted to be able to do that out at Veterans Memorial as well. So
we're working on that.
Talk to Matt, so I'll twist his arm if he needs to. And then the second part, in talking to a community leader yesterday, he mentioned that 4-H, he's a farmer,
okay,
large plot farmer, so mentioned that 4-H used to implement Robert's Rules, things like that. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm asking you to reach out to him. But that leadership type modeling.
Right, and I would say that goes from club to club. For example, I was at a club on Monday night, and the officers were two boys in high school, did an amazing job. The rest of the club members were probably fourth grade and younger. And so, but the boys did a good job of modeling, this is how we make a motion, this is, you know, but, so getting them used to the idea anyhow. I've been to clubs that do a really good job of that, and then some that need a little support. Yeah. And again, you know, that's something to learn. And I think previously they've done like little workshops. I've seen you do things on like Robert's Rules and things like that. So it's just more education opportunities and training that I feel like, you know, we'll get to. But now I'm just trying to keep everyone together and headed in a positive direction.
It was a concern for Chairman Holloway from Paris, but how do we continue to develop the future leaders of Kenosha County?
Right, and I mean, I will tell you that as the kids get into high school, our numbers are dropping off because high school kids have a lot of responsibilities, but they also have a lot of choices now in what they can get involved in, and so, that's why I said the ASTER program would be good to get going again, because then if we can catch them and build that enthusiasm more in middle elementary to junior high, then we kind of want to keep them going with us and hopefully retain the membership into high school.
Another thing that John mentioned is Union Grove has kind of a development program that they put in place that may have tangents, I don't know, but it's a long duration course with mentoring, similar to what we do with Yates and whatnot. So,
something to look into. Sure. Erica.
In 2022 for positive youth development, I would say the biggest lift and kind of biggest chunk of my time was launching the NEA program, which I presented on back in August. I don't need to kind of reiterate everything that I said then, but again, we had one educational trip, two multi-day camps, and weekly programming, since we launched last April through the summer, and we had 38 youth participants total. That was at the Kenosha Southwest Library, and we worked with a variety of community partners, bringing in a lot of different community leaders and professionals to be able to work with the youth on different career paths. Youth and governance has been going extremely well. So for last year's cohort, the youth took it upon themselves to do some additional community-facing programs together. In addition to their committee roles, they wanted to let the community know more about upcoming elections and bring about more awareness for both youth and adults about county, county happenings and county government. So they did some voter outreach events, they threw a concert, and they did a project focused on mental health resource awareness in their schools. So just helping connect youth with all of the resources that we have here at the County Department of Health and Behavioral Health. And all 16 youth completed the full term, so that was exciting. There is a 60% requirement for youth to attend their committee meetings, as well as at least one county board full meeting in addition to the ones they have to attend as they get inducted. So that with everything else on the high achievers' plates, it can be a little bit challenging to manage. But they all did it, and that was really incredible. And of course, in May, we started with our 2022-2023 Youth and Governance cohort. Our picture at the top there is from the induction. So we have current cohort and most of the cohort from last year. Were able to attend. So two additional spots opened up because of the executive committee returning to meeting regularly. So I was very excited to add two more youth to the program. And the youth, we do meet on a monthly basis just to check in on how their committee meetings are going and make sure everything's going well. And they said that they want to have another opportunity to all meet together and are floating around some community service project ideas to be able to volunteer at an organization that helps those in need or something similar to that. The other program that I work largely on is Youth as Resources. So their 2021-2022 board funded 14 youth-led service projects for over $5,000. And then so far in the 2022-2023 term, they have funded six more. So we're on track to fund more youth-led projects this year. Again, I have not presented on the Youth as Resources Board in a while, so that is a partnership with United Way, where there's 9 high school-age youth and 3 adults, and they have a budget of $5,000 a year that they receive from United Way to fund community service projects designed by K-12 youth. So those, again, that's just like youth and governance, they follow Robert's Rules of Order on their board, and it truly is like a real non-profit board and an experience that is so, I think, incredible for the youth to have that is usually reserved for adults board membership. So those are, those are the biggest highlights of 2022, not to go too into the weeds on NEA since they just did a couple months ago. Not too into the weeds on youth and governance because I'll be presenting on that next month, so stay tuned. And then, of course, 2023. Youth and governance, just exploring more opportunities for engagement for the youth. This year, the health department reached out to them, to youth and governance, to ask to help put on one of the community discussions that they were having. Focused on young people, so some of the youth and governance got involved with that and were able to help talk to our health department leaders about what youth priorities are. So just looking, continuing that conversation with department heads on what ways they want to get more involved with youth and what ways I can continue throughout the year to email the youth, and when I meet with the youth, let them know about opportunities to help the county reach more young people. So we'll continue to do that. Youth as Resources, this year we have two additional granting sessions. One closes this Friday, so we will be, the youth will be funding more projects then, as well as in March. And then one thing that sort of faltered during COVID was our endowment fund. So the Kenosha, or I mean the Youth as Resources Board has an endowment through the Kenosha Community Foundation, which allows them to take out a very limited amount of funds as needed to fund additional projects, fund their own service projects as a board and things like that. And with COVID, it just kind of went into sort of idle, I suppose, for a while. And we found that I found that the bylaws for the endowment fund didn't quite match kind of the way that things are structured now. So we rewrote those and are in the process of, you know, starting to recruit more people to be on the endowment fund so that the youth can return to doing fundraising projects for the board as they used to do in the past. And the two youth that are on the endowment committee will actually be on the endowment committee and helping the program grow. What I'm very, 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 very excited about, and I could probably say more varies, is that with NEA, we are now partnering with KUSD to not just do programming at the library, but also be able to go into the schools to do that career and college prep work with some groups of students during the school day. I found that although everything in the pilot year of NEA since we launched in April went very well in terms of the programming and youth feedback, it was a, I would say, fairly strong barrier to entry for youth to have to get to the library, you know, to be able to go to all of the events. So this year, I'm changing. It was a weekly program at the library. Now I'm partnering with, to start, Bradford and Lincoln, and working with groups of students in 8th through 12th grade, either on a monthly or semi-monthly basis. This will start in February. And then we'll have one larger event at the library every month. So this month, January 19th, Thursday, we're having a rest and reset event. It's the last day of finals or exams for KUSD. And so the youth, need a chance to sort of rest as well as kind of get their bearings for the rest of the year, their next semester. So there'll be therapy dogs, food provided. We're doing a vision board activity to help them plan and set goals for this next year and beyond, and do some kind of mindfulness exercises and things like that. So we're just starting off the year on like a sort of fun note, and then our February event will be a career and college fair and getting our local universities, the fire, Kenosha Fire Department, and other employers looking for youth who are graduating soon, and also some local experts on networking, resume building, and other skills like that, mostly from the library. So we're adding KUSD to the partnership with the library, and we will be able to reach more students more consistently throughout the year, which is the aim of the program. So extremely excited. I had a very encouraging meeting yesterday with the Boys and Girls Club, and we might be exploring a second monthly site, because a lot of the youth that go to Bradford and Lincoln go to the Boys and Girls Club after school, so we're looking into how we can incorporate some after school stuff there as well. And then I know I mentioned in August, but then I put it on hold, the hire for the 20, I had talked about interns versus a 20-hour a week NEA associate. I have submitted that position to the university, so it is going through. It'll be a 20-hour a week at about $21,000 a year associate specialist position just to focus on NEA. So I'm excited to essentially be doubling myself, because I would say so far it's been 50% NEA and 50% Yig and Yar and other programs. So to be able to have someone else working 20 hours a week on NEA will allow us to move beyond the pilots at Bradford and Lincoln and kind of use what we learned there to go into more schools, expand, outside of the city of Kenosha as well, more into the county, and kind of keep growing that program and reach more kids to help them figure out their future. So extremely excited about that. And a huge goal is to reach 50 ongoing members for NEO. We had 38 this year, and about 20 of those students came multiple times. So we had, you know, about half that came more than once. So I feel that I was getting positive feedback from the experiences, but the weekly at the library again, just I feel like we needed to adapt. So that's a huge goal, reaching more youth, hiring that specialist. NEO will be a 4-H club or a project. It's not a traditional 4-H club in the same sense that most of our county clubs are, but it will kind of be a specialty, like career, you know, purposes 4-H club. And we are currently planning a trip to take the youth to Chicago, and we're looking at a couple of museums, perhaps the Museum of Science and Industry, for March 25th. So that will be in partnership with Rock and Waukesha County, so we will all take our youth there, and then the sessions that I do in school as well as at the library and Boys and Girls Club around that time in March will kind of center around helping them, you know, reach their goals. So excited to continue with more trips, more multi-day camps, more workshops, and just kind of expand on the awesome stuff we did this year and reach more youth. And then I am partnering with the Kenosha Creative Space, and this year we will launch their youth board. A huge goal of mine for my role as a positive youth development educator is to really take some of the frameworks that I have for youth and governance and youth as resources, as well as some frameworks my colleagues have around the state, to be able to launch more boards at different nonprofits and different entities that are made up of youth around the community. Just so I think it's very incredible and very special how youth and governance students here get to talk to elected officials about their opinions and have the advisory vote and those sort of things, and you know, seeing all the incredible impact in YAR. So to be able to take that to the nonprofit world and just get more youth in charge of what we're doing in our community, or in part in charge of what we're doing in our community, the better. So lots of exciting things on the docket, building off of what I've done this year. I'll be reaching my 2 years in the position in April, so it's been really exciting to go through year two here and kind of expand. As I made our YIG handbooks, I just wrote the year 2025 for the first time, so that was alarming but exciting. And yeah, that's kind of what I have.
In regards to FoodWise, Tifa was just here last month and shared all the program highlights, we thought it'd be a bit redundant to have her again go over all those highlights. So instead, she submitted what the plan of work is for FoodWise, so I wanted to share that with you. So they will continue with the educational services that they are providing in the county, whether they be individuals, families, partners. Also, nutrition educators will continue to engage partners and learn collaborative strategies and community resources that will improve nutrition outcomes and provide or address food insecurity. So they will be focusing on that. And so it's similar with the last bullet is they did finish all their end of year reports now, and so now they're looking ahead and focusing on their plan of work, which again will be improving nutrition education. So they're gonna look at strategies and ways to do that, improving their programming, focusing on engaging partners, community outreach strategies, and creating opportunities to bring awareness to food insecurity. So those will be their main focal areas. And then I did want to include some of what Amy did. So what I did is that recording portal I mentioned, I went through that and I took a look. And hers I just kind of divided into two main areas in her time with the county for the 9 months that she was here, and looked at some trainings and educational activities that she completed and the focus of those trainings. So she was focusing on advanced relationship development competencies training, asset-based leadership development training, real colors, relationship building skills, and she worked with UW Parkside with anti-hunger initiatives, among other things. These are just trainings and highlights that really stood out. And then below, and I won't read all those, you can see the audiences that she reached. So quite the diverse audience there as well. And she had about 450 contacts, educational contacts in the time that she as you know, the position is vacant right now, and so I'll do kind of just give a mini part of my report. I did start this the process of filling the position. So today I did have a discussion with one of the institute leadership, a gentleman in that leadership role, to just get a feel for what is this position. Also intend to talk to some community leaders to just find out what that need is too, since there's four different areas in which the educator can focus. It used to be like Amy was more of a generalist, and one option is to keep it a generalist, but it's really hard to focus on four different areas, where instead if you pick a couple, let's say, doesn't mean that the other areas can't be addressed. So I can share more with that once I learn more, but right now, yeah, I'm in that new getting it ready stages, and then we take a look at filling that position. And so I'll continue to keep you give you updates on that. And so that is community development. I think we've been answering questions as we go, but I want to have one last opportunity if there are any questions we can answer for you.
Can you go back to the colors?
Absolutely. Yes.
There are a lot of different personification matrixes out there, but I hadn't seen this matrix before, and I can't hardly see it here, but that's okay. But why another matrix? Does this focus in a different area or different characteristics? Like high eyes or reds or...
I just think what they did is they redid it, because when I went through, it was called True Colors, and they used the same four colors, and then now the latest is, no, it's Real Colors, and so, and typically you did learn these things about you, like all of us tend to have a predominant color, and it can change over time, like when I went through the training itself, and I was a gold, and I was a strong gold, and now as I've aged, I've turned into a blue, and blue is now my predominant color, but boy, I still have a lot of strong gold undertones. So it's just a matter of what, how you approach things and that kind of thing. So it gets to know first about you and your strengths, and then also how to interact. Like how, like a gold and an orange, like potentially they could be like this. They are two totally different styles of approaching things. So it helps people in leadership roles understand that first off, people have these different ways of approaching, and here's how you can build those relationships and strategies that will work so you're not always butting heads.
And I will say, Amy actually did a feature presentation on the colors several months before she left. So if you were interested, you could go back and hear that recording.
I've done 20 different train shirts, different styles and different categories. So
we do want to be mindful of time at 6:51, and we want to keep moving through our agenda. Obviously, I'm assuming that most of our program updates were kind of covered in this section.
I agree.
But,
I was thinking about that, yes.
But we do want to keep moving along here.
So
great. Any other questions? Okay. All right, well then, Erica, if we skip back to youth and governance updates, does that work for you?
Yes,
okay,
it does. Great. Yeah, so printer, challenges, and April saved day, delivered them to me while they were printing the beginning of the meeting, so thank you for your patience. I just have our draft handbooks and our nomination packets that were sent to schools and community contacts for Yegan Yar. I'll send all of this via email before the end of the week as well, so I'll just pass this. Feel free, everyone, to take them or not, colleagues, if you don't want to, but also please nominate youth if you know them. Anywho, so we're not going to be voting on the handbook tonight. That will be next month, and I'm going to do that in partnership with the presentation that I do on youth and governance, so that'll give everyone a chance to kind of learn all about the program and the history and things like that. And I did not make any substantial updates to the handbook, just updated for years, new positions, some like updated contact information, things like that. So it shouldn't be anything too drastic, but I wanted to give a chance to give the handbook to everyone a month in advance this time around, so you can check it out and let me know if you have any thoughts or ideas or concerns about things you think should be changed or added that we can add to the discussion next time. And if you see a typo, feel free to note them, let me know, but I'll be reviewing it as well. And then the biggest thing that I'd like that I need to decide tonight is who will be from PDEC giving the interviews for this year's youth and governance interviews. So last year and the year before I started, what we did was the two youth and governance as what on PDEC, as well as two representatives from PDEC, elected officials from PDEC, joined together for that interview committee. But I know in previous years we've had additional, more, it can be more than just two county supervisors. Sometimes we've had many in the room, but only two actually do the voting process. So very quickly, we only have a few minutes. But the nomination process, or the nomination application process, is such that first we open it for a month to be nominated, like for nominations, asking mentors, teachers, counselors, youth serving professionals, youth themselves to send in nominations for youth to apply. Then we send out all of those, all the applications to those who were nominated. And then we receive applications for another month. And then it'll be the week of March 20th or 27th. Depending on what works in everyone's schedules, to do two nights of interviews, and each interview is 5 minutes for the top 25 applicants, which is screened by Nisha Extension first. So basically, you have here some information about YAG, some information about YAR, because I am collecting nominations for the youth board as well. There's also an online form, and then I just need to determine who of you, and not everyone is here tonight, so I can open up this conversation over email, but I wanted to make sure that we were, you know, in line with procedure and things like that to figure out who will be doing the interviews.
So for the last couple of years, I've had the privilege of serving in that role, and I've enjoyed it. I'd be happy to serve in that role again. I know Supervisor Franco is a mentor currently with the Youth and Governance, so that also could be a logical person if you were interested in serving in that role. Those, you know, just as suggestions.
Sure.
I know, Chairman Nudo, I'm happy you're here tonight because you were on PDEC previously and kind of experienced.
We used to have the whole committee.
The whole committee?
Yes.
Do you have any input about I think it was made lower because the scoring got really, that's what I was told, the scoring got really interesting when it was so many people interviewing and it took a lot longer. But do you have any input or thoughts based on, like, on that process?
Really, I mean, it would have to be up to the committee.
Yeah.
Just
for insight for people who are here to
I'm just going to basically state the opinion, but that's, I mean, that's the way it's going to have to be done.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it should be offered to everybody at the committee first.
Okay.
If everybody wants to be on, then they'll be on. And then if not, a list of the two minimum with the maximum of
five.
Whoever's at the committee at that point.
Okay.
That would be my suggestion. But again, it's up to the committee. You know, it's something that you guys can decide and see what's best.
And as you mentioned, Erica, several committee members aren't here tonight.
Right.
So maybe I think your suggestion of maybe reaching out via email would be a good opportunity. And
yeah.
You could, like you say, see if everybody's interested or if they're not interested or available.
Yeah, okay, sounds good. So I will reach out to the whole committee via email, figure out who's interested, let you all know who said they're interested, and from there decide if we want everyone who's interested to do it or just pick a couple, and then with who the final names, we will pick a date during those 2 weeks. So,
you're picking the date of the board interview?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, so. Yeah, so I'll touch base with you and Becca as well. So it should be the week of the 20th, unless for some reason those 2 weeks, if you're both out of town, we can figure something out. But yes, it would be whoever the interview next Sunday. You just get your set on the table, and it'll be a couple hours later, 2 days in a row.
Great, thanks, Erica. Yeah, anything else as far as YAG we should be aware of tonight?
Uh, not not too much. I'll send all this over email, please. If you know any awesome youth who are current 10th or 11th graders, send me their nominations via these paper forms, via mail, email, hand it to me, fax, etc., as well as ER, which is we're looking for 8th through 11th graders there. And then, yeah, be prepared next month to approve this handbook, or if you have any suggestions to kind of prepare that, as well as hear all about the program for the presentation.
Great. Thanks, Erica. All right. Are there any other extension educator or program updates that we should be aware of that weren't already covered? Anything else at all?
Nope, because okay. I mentioned the position. Sure. So, and then other than that, it's just I've been spending time just getting to know the county and onboarding and all of that. So, yes.
Good. Very good. All right. Well, our feature program tonight kind of covered the whole meeting.
Exactly. It really did.
It was a unique meeting tonight. All right. Well, great. Thank you. Thank you to each of you educators for your continued work throughout our community. UW Extension is just a wonderful program. Yeah. Provides many opportunities, and we're thankful for each of you, so thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, well, we'll just pause for a minute or two here.